With the Fed expected to keep interest rates super low again today, does this policy make the gap between rich and poor in America even worse? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Today, the Japanese Central Bank, in a bid to boost the economy, vowed to keep interest rates there near zero for the next 10 years. That is a long time. Here in the U.S., interest rates have been super low for almost 8 years, and that strategy is not likely to change when the Fed makes its announcement today. But a new analysis shows that low rates from the Fed are contributing to income inequality in America. Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics in Washington has new data. She says it's not just low rates boosting the stock market or making real estate cheaper, helping the wealthier people.
But it also makes it much harder to earn a real rate of return on the money we save so that we can put away some money to achieve life goals that advance wealth accumulation if we're starting out without that silver spoon in our mouths.
So if one is of moderate income or low income, you're saying, what, you're going to go over to a bank and get a certificate of deposit? That's going to pay essentially nothing. But also, other places where you could store wealth aren't really working well for you in this low interest rate environment.
Then that is actually, I think, one of the long-term frightening aspects, because with the Fed's monetary policy distorting asset prices and making it hard for us to keep our noses above water when we put our money in the bank, the financial system is changing. Banks are being pushed aside as we look for ways to make a buck. Think about it. You know, money you put in a prepaid card doesn't earn you any interest. All it does is promote short-term consumption, and that makes all of us poorer because the economy gets weaker.
But if you're worried about this widening gap between rich and poor and low interest rates do, I hope, encourage employers to hire more people. That can also reduce inequality in theory.
In theory, and that's the strategy, very traditional, you know, Phillips curve type old school strategy that the Fed has been using since 2008. Even the Fed understands that it is not working at all well. And some of that is structural because of Congress's inability to support economic growth. But I think a good deal of it can also be laid at the feet of the Fed. Short-term policies continued for 8 years have unintended and, I think, damaging results.
We'll link to Karen's study at Marketplace.org. Karen Petru at Federal Financial Analytics, thank you for this.
Thank you very much, David.
Staying with inequalities here, we've been following the news from the U.S. Census Bureau that typical, that is, median household income has just increased for the first time in years. But going deeper, the news is more mixed. While poverty rates fell for Black and Latino households, incomes rose more slowly. And a new study shows that right now, African American men make 22% less than their white peers. African American women make 34% less. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
The study is from the Economic Policy Institute. It looks at wages from 1979 to 2015 and reaches some surprising conclusions, says Valerie Wilson, who co-authored the study. She says among African Americans,
college graduates actually saw their gap widen more than any other educational group over this period of time.
Wilson says there just aren't that many African Americans in the top 1% of earners, where wage growth is fastest. Wilson says young African-American women in particular lost ground since the recession because fewer went to college. They couldn't afford it. And there's another reason they fell behind. Margaret Sims of the Urban Institute says some jobs that don't require degrees are disappearing.
Fewer and fewer of the support jobs are available as people become their own secretaries and their own phone answerers.
Older African-American men are also struggling. The study says many joined the workforce during the recession of the 1980s at lower starting salaries that left them permanently behind. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Cable TV provider Comcast has come out with plans for a mobile phone service for next year. The move comes as all the traditional cable providers are searching for new strategies at a time when people are doing more of their watching, listening, and browsing by phone or straight internet. Marketplace's Adam Allington has more on the Comcast move.
Comcast sells us cable TV, it sells us internet, it will hook you up with a landline if that's how you roll, but it doesn't sell us wireless. And Peter Chatti of Creative Media says in a world of smartphones and tablets, that is where the growth is.
Certainly for the millennials, they're all looking down at their phones, and so this is where Comcast realizes it needs to spend more of its energy.
Chatti says wireless could be a great platform for Comcast, which already owns a boatload of content through NBC Universal, as well as new investments.
They invested $200 million in Vox Media, $200 million in BuzzFeed.
The move will help Comcast compete with the likes of AT&T and Verizon, which already offer bundled services. However, Comcast doesn't have its own wireless network, meaning the service will run primarily over Wi-Fi, which telecoms analyst Jan Dawson of Jackdaw Research says could be a problem.
A lot of the usage that people have is on trains and out and about in the city where there is no Comcast home wireless to jump on.
Dawson says Comcast has an agreement to lease space on Verizon's network, which offers good coverage, but it could eat into Comcast's profit margin. In Washington, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Also today, I talked to the U.S. president of IKEA about his company's ironic finding, given that they're in the furniture business, that the American dream isn't about acquiring more and more stuff. It's at marketplace.org if you want to listen to that. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.